بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 15th session, reading from بواعث الخلاص من الذنوب, يعني the ways and means that will help and aid a person to escape from sins. The original text for this reading is from الإمام شمس الدين أبو عبد الله محمد بن أبي بكر الدمشقي الحنبلي, better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah. And the commentary that we're going to be reading from is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we look at the topic tonight, which is going to be the 15th ba'ith, before we look at that, we want to go over some of the points that we discussed last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 14. First question from last week's session is summarized the 14th ba'ith, motivational factor, as presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The 14th ba'ith. Naam. Fadlu. Fateh.
Reflect and ponder on the science of Allah, the speech from the Quran, and the universal science of creation.
Type, reflecting upon the amazing things that are in the Ayat of Allah, which he has encouraged his worshippers to reflect upon. And the Shaykh said, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim says, that these are Ayatuhu al-Matalluwa wa Ayatuhu al-Makhluqa. Yani those Ayat which are recited, and those Ayat which are that which is created, the creation. The second question, what does Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah describe as being A'azamu ghabn, the greatest loss? What does he describe as being the greatest loss? Naam, Abdul Wali.
The one who's able to benefit from the Quran, the speech of Allah, and his messengers, his companions, but he turns away and listens to the speech of the shaitan.
Naam. And a person who's able to benefit from reading and reflecting upon the speech of Allah in the Quran, and that which came to us in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the yani that which came to us, conveyed to us, or transmitted to us from the companions, the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. A person has the opportunity to read and to reflect upon these things, and rather they prefer to listen to the speech of shaitan. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says this is the greatest loss. There is no loss after this. The question, third question, discuss the literal and intended meaning of the expressions al-ayat al-matluwa and al-ayat al-makhluqa. What is the literal and the intended meaning of these two expressions? First, what is the literal meaning of these two expressions? Al-ayat al-matluwa. What is the literal meaning? Naam. Okay, ayat tilawa. Yani ayat that are recited. Naam. And the literal meaning of ayat makhluqa. Literal meaning of it. Huh? Fadl.
Ayat that are speaking about what he created and
created. Yani literally it means ayat makhluqa, means the ayat that are created from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is intended by al ayat al matluwa? What is intended by that? Yani the ayat that are recited, meaning what? Now. What is intended by ayat matluwa is the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah, that is the Qur'an. Yani that which is revealed to us in the Qur'an. What is intended by al-ayat al-makhluqa? Yani, what Allah created. Yani the things in the creation. Everything that Allah created are signs. Are signs of His greatness, His majesty, His generosity, His kindness, His mercy towards the creation. All of these are signs, yani for those who would reflect. The fourth question lists four benefits mentioned by the Shaykh, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, as a result of occupying one's heart with reflection upon the amazing aspects of the ayat of Allah. Yani four benefits that the Shaykh mentioned as a result of a person occupying their heart with reflection upon the ayat of Allah. Four benefits. One.
It increases the connection to Allah.
Okay, it increases a person's connection to Allah. Their connection to Allah. Naam. Two.
It increases
Now, that the Sheikh mentioned. The question says, four benefits, the Sheikh mentioned.
Okay.
There are lots of benefits. There are many benefits, unlimited benefits. But the Sheikh mentioned four things specifically. Now, do wali. That it helps a person to stay away from, yani, delving into falsehood. Now, what else? Fadl.
Repel the whisper from shaitan.
That it repels the whispering, the whispers of shaitan. Now. And it's from the greatest means of helping a person to avoid sins. One thing that the Shaykh mentioned, the first one he mentioned, nobody mentioned, the first thing that he mentioned. And from the benefits of reflecting on the amazing things in the ayats of Allah, strengthen iman, that is, strengthens a person's iman. And then he said, also increases, yani, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 5, mention two important qualities with which Allah describes ulul albab, the men of understanding in the Quran, in the third surah, 191st ayat. Allah mentions, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. What are the two qualities that he mentioned about the أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ? What are their qualities that he describes them with? Now, يعني الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم, يعني that they are constantly in remembrance of Allah when they are standing, when they are sitting, when they are lying on their sides. In every situation or circumstance, they are engaged in the remembrance of Allah. This is from the qualities that Allah describes them with, these special people, the people of understanding. And that they are constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. The second quality that he describes them with. Second quality that he describes them with. Fadl. That they reflect upon the creation of Allah. They reflect upon the creation of Allah. So these are two qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles out for people that he is praising, that they remember Allah all the time, and that they contemplate, ponder over, reflect on the signs of Allah that he encouraged us to reflect upon. Question number 6, mention the statement of Abu Sulaiman al-Darani rahimahullah. The statement of Abu Sulaiman al-Darani rahimahullah. What did he say? Now,
indeed, when I go out my house, there is nothing that I see that I do not find in favor of Allah or a lesson in what Allah has created.
Okay, he said that when I go out of my house, there's nothing, yani, that my eyes fall upon except that I see in it. لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ يعني نِعْمَةً. That there's nothing that I see except that I see in it for Allah over me, yani a favor from Allah over me in it, yani the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I see an ibrah, yani a lesson in it, a lesson in the creation of Allah. The 7th and final question summarizes the first 14 bawa'ith, motivational factors mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim. Number 1, quickly, number 1, now,
exaltedness of Allah,
yani ta'zeem of Allah. The second one, the love of Allah, mahabbat to Allah. Third one, acknowledgement, a person recognizing and reflecting on the many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ni'am and his ihsan upon the creation. Number 4,
the anger and wrath and punishment
of Allah for those who are disobedient to him, that Allah becomes angry with that and he punishes those who anger him. Now, the 5th one, the great loss of good, fawat al-khayr al-fadl. Now, that a person who commits sins will lose out on the khair that Allah has for them due to their disobedience. Now, number 6. Yani the pleasure, the joy of being able to suppress, yani, one's nafs and shaitan. Now, yes, brother. That's number 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? the reward of abandoning, okay, the compensation, the iwad, the compensation that Allah, He compensates a person if they give up something of disobedience, He gives them something to compensate for that, that's better than it. In the dunya or in the akhirah. Naam, number 8. Ma'iyya. Ma'iyyatullah al-khasa. Ma'iyyatullah, amma is for everything in the creation. Ma'iyyatullah al-khasa. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with a person in a special way. That He guides them, He protects them, He provides for them, and so on. Naam. Number, what, 9? 9, naam. Number 9. Naam, that a person should have fear of imminent death. That death may come unexpectedly and suddenly and quickly. And a person won't have opportunity to rectify their affairs. Therefore, a person has to think about that. That death may come suddenly, unexpectedly. Naam. Number 10? 10. Okay, calamities are a result. Yani, al-bala, mashhad, al-bala, wal-afiya. Yani, the reality that al-bala, affliction, is really the fact that a person is in disobedience to Allah. And afiya is what? It's not so much that a person has good physical health, but it is that a person is in obedience to Allah. Naam. Number 11? 11? Naam. Yani, gradually striving to oppose and to resist and to subdue, yani, the evil desires of the nafs. Naam. What number? 12. Naam.
Repelling evil thoughts.
Yani, that a person stop at the very beginning when those evil thoughts come, before they grow and develop and become difficult to get away from. Number 13. Okay, staying away from those, or more generally, yani, cutting off ties and causes or reasons that lead a person to follow their desires. Naam. And the last one, yani, the last one that we had last week. Contemplating on the legislated and universal. What do you mean by legislated signs of Allah? What does that mean? The Qur'an, that which Allah has legislated, that which He revealed in the Qur'an, naam, and in the sunnah. And the universal signs means what? Al-ayat al-qawniyya. Yani, the signs that are in that which Allah created in the universe. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the 14th point that Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions of the ways and means that help a person to avoid and to distance themselves from sin. The 14th matter. So we're going to read, as we mentioned previously, unfortunately, in the English translation of this book, they have separated the text of the speech of Ibn al-Qayyim from the commentary of the Shaykh. Naam. I'm sorry, 15. Yes, 15th point. So the actual text, the original speech from Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, is in the back of the book. And the 15th point is on the bottom of page 63 and continues to page 64. And then the explanation from the Shaykh goes back to the front of the book on page 30 and 31. So we're going to look at both of them. And then we'll go to the Arabic. In Arabic, we're going to be looking at the Arabic text from page 39 and 40. Here I want to just mention, usually, because there's a difference between the translation of the Shaykh's commentary, which apparently came from audio recordings, and the explanation of the Shaykh that he published, yani, that he actually published, there's a difference between those two commentaries. Usually the Arabic commentary is a little bit more thorough. At this point, it seems as though the commentary that's translated is more thorough than the commentary that was published. So we're going to really look at the English translation, because there are many, many more evidences mentioned concerning the topic in the English translation from the audio. But we'll look at both of them, inshallah. I just want to make a note, though, that he mentions several, yani, textual evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah in the audio explanation that's not mentioned in the book that we have, the Arabic text that was published. In any case, on page 63 in the back of the English translation, point number 15, yani from the ways and means that will help a person to avoid sin, that will distance a person from falling into sin. And every Muslim is in need of this. And if there's no person that is not or shouldn't be, that shouldn't be concerned about sin, because every human being is committing sins. Every human being is committing sins. And everyone who commits sins needs to strive and struggle to avoid committing sins. Because the commission of sins is the way to a person's destruction. He says, from the 15th matter to help a person to avoid sins, to think about the reality of this world, yani the life in this world, the swiftness of its passing away, and the nearness of its ending. No one is content to take as provisions, yani as deeds that they do in this world, to send ahead for the next life. No one would be content to take as provisions for his permanent and eternal abode, yani in the hereafter. No one would be content to take as provisions the most despicable and the least beneficial things from this world, except the person who possesses low resolve, lacks dignity, and has a dead heart. Yani nobody would be content to take as provisions, to send ahead as their provisions for the next life, yani those things which are the most despicable of things that a person can do in this world, and the things that are the least beneficial. Nobody would be happy with this. He says, except a person who has low resolve, who lacks dignity, and has a dead heart. Indeed, his regret, the person who takes these, the least of things in this world that would have any benefit for a person, his regret will increase when he sees the real worth of the provisions he prepared, yani the deeds that he did to send ahead for his meeting with Allah. His regret will increase when he sees the real worth of these provisions that he has prepared, and when he recognizes their worthlessness. Yani that what he has been doing in this world will be worthless. It will be of no benefit to him. A person's regret will be increased when they see this reality. So how much more sorrow will he feel? How much more will be his regret if he takes something that is a cause for his punishment and for which he will suffer excruciating pain? Yani not just that he's doing deeds that are going to be of little benefit, rather what he has done, the deeds that he has done in this world, are going to be actually the cause of his pain, his punishment and destruction. He will even, he says, he will even feel regret, even if he acquires useful provisions, and even if he does some things that will be of use for him in the next life, yet that caused him to abandon something more beneficial. And even if a person did some beneficial things which caused him to lose out in doing those things which were more beneficial, he would still regret. Then what about the person who is doing things that are useless? What about the person who is committing sins? And that's not just useless, but going to be the cause of his destruction. So, yani, the point here, this is the end of what he says, yani, in the actual text of the Kalam of Ibn Qayyim. The point here, though, is so that we don't get lost in it. The point here is that reflecting on the reality of this world and what a person does with their time in this world, is it something that's going to be beneficial, of little benefit, of great benefit, or it's going to be of no benefit, it's going to be the cause of their punishment? Reflecting on this reality will help a person to realize that they need to be doing something that's going to be the most beneficial. They need to be avoiding that which is going to be the cause of their punishment in the next life, and this will help a person to avoid sins by the help of Allah. The Shaykh says in his explanation, and actually this is the English translation, yani from the audio is a quite lengthy explanation, but we'll try to go through it a little bit quickly so we can get to the Arabic. It says on page 32 in the front of the book, 15, recognizing the reality of this world. Yani the true reality of the life in this world. The 15th way of escaping sins, as mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, is to reflect upon the reality of this world. Yani the reality of this world is not like most people see it to be, something valuable, something dear, something beloved, that they devote their lives to seeking it. The reality of this world, reflecting upon the reality of this world and how quickly it will end, and how it is a place of trial and a source of delusion. He mentions first from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 20th Ayat, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَحْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us, اِعْلَمُوا, to pay attention to this reality and know that the hayat dunya, the life in this world, is only play and amusement and pomp and mutual boasting about what people possess of the material things of this world, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. It is as the likeness of vegetation after rain. Thereof the growth is pleasing to the tiller, to the farmer. Afterwards it dries up, and you see it turning yellow. Then it becomes straw. Yani the things of this world are just things that appear to be beautiful, attractive, pleasing. But very, very quickly, they turn into that which is useless, worthless, of no real benefit. The Shaykh says there are numerous verses in the Quran which clarify the reality of the life of this world. The reality of life in this world. The same can be found in the narrations from the Noble Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says in Surah Al-Hadid, yani 57th Surah, 20th Ayat, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُوَى. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion? Or the worldly life, the life in this world, is no more than enjoyments that are delusion, that are deception, that are, have no real value. The life of this world is no more than that. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُوَى. Pleasures, enjoyments that are merely deception. This means that the enjoyment of fleeting, that this means that the enjoyment is fleeting and temporary. Yani it's something that's going to pass away quickly. It has no lasting reality. We must think about how quickly this world ends, how quickly it will be over, and how the real life is that of the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 64th Ayat, وَإِنَّ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. That indeed, the home of the hereafter, yani the life in the next world, it is indeed the eternal life. Yani the real life. The real life is the life in the hereafter. And therefore, when a person knows this reality, it is incumbent upon us then, yani to recognize the difference between the life in this world and its worthlessness, and the life in the hereafter and its real value, its reality, its permanence. As for the life of this world, then it is quickly over and will quickly disappear. Reflect upon this, and the day when people will be made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Reflect upon how quickly this life will pass away and disappear. And the day when people will be made to stand before Allah for judgment, when they will await their reckoning. How long will they wait? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'arij, 70th Surah, 4th Ayat, فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Yani it will be a day, the extent of which is equal to 50,000 years in comparison to the fleeting days of this world. What is the period that people spend in the life of this world compared to 50,000 years? What is the lifespan of a person? The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, Shaykh al-Albani declared it to be a hadith to be hasan. He says, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ إِلَى سَبَعِينَ. And the lifespan of the people of my nation, of my ummah, is between 60 and 70 years. Yani people will live approximately 60 or 70 years, not much more than that. If we suppose that a person lives for 60 years, if 15 years or a bit less was subtracted from this, taking into account the period prior to puberty, before a person became responsible, or suppose an entire third was subtracted from this due to sleep, because whoever lives 60 years and sleeps 8 hours a night, may Allah save us from sleeping 8 hours a night, whoever lives 60 years and sleeps 8 hours a night, during this time will sleep for approximately 20 of their 60 years of life. Therefore, the time that you really utilize of your life is relatively small. What is this small amount of years compared to a day, the extent of which is 50,000 years? Yani the day in which the people will be awaiting the judgment. If the servant reflects upon how quickly this world passes by and how quickly it ends, then this will also be a great incentive for him to stay away from sin. And if a person realizes how quickly this world, the life, a person's life in this world, how quickly it passes away, and how quickly it will come to an end, and how little time a person has to gather up provisions for the next life, and how important it is then to gather up those provisions that are going to have some value and some benefit, and to avoid the deeds, the provisions, the deeds that one sends ahead that will be the cause of their punishment and destruction in the next life. If a person reflects upon this, it will be a great incentive for him to stay away from sin. Consider this meaning in light of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abir as-sabil," be in this world as though you are a stranger or a wayfarer. Yani a stranger in a land other than your own, which you are temporarily staying there in order to fulfill some need, waiting and preparing every day to return to your land. Or a wayfarer who's just traveling across the earth, passing through a land, just passing through momentarily on the way to the return to your homeland. A brief explanation of this hadith, inshallah, if we have time in the end, we'll look at it from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Bayad in his explanation of the 50 hadith. So, going to the Arabic on page 41 and 42, at the top of the page, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, he says, الخامسة عشرة, the 15th, يعني of the بواعث, the things that will help a person to escape from falling into disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. التفكر في الدنيا وسرعة زوالها وقرب انقضائها. Yani the 15th way or means that will help a person to avoid sins is to reflect, to contemplate, to ponder over the reality of the life in this world, and over the reality of the quickness, the swiftness of the life in this world, how quickly it passes away, and how near is its coming to an end, a person's life in this world. Reflecting on this reality, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim says, فَلَا يَرْضَى لِنَفْسِهِ أَنْ يَتَزَوَّدَ مِنْهَا إِلَى دَارُ بِقَائِهِ وَخُلُودِهِ أَخَصَّ مَا فِيهَا وَأَقَلَّهُ نَفَعًا. Therefore, a person will not be pleased, and yet تَزَوَّدَ مِنْهَا, you need to take provisions to do the deeds that will be their provisions for the journey to the next life. A person will not be pleased to take provisions, deeds that will be their provisions to the دار بقائه وخلوده, the place of his permanent and eternal residence. He will not be pleased to take أَخَصَّ مَا فِيهَا وَأَقَلَّهُ نَفْعًا, yani that which is the most despicable and contemptible of what is in this world, and that which is of least benefit. A person wouldn't be pleased with provisions, meaning to do deeds that a person will send ahead for the next life. A person wouldn't be pleased with the most despicable of deeds and the least in benefit. إِلَّا سَاقِتْ الْهِمَّةِ وَدَنِي الْمَرُوَى وَمَيِّتَ الْقَلْبِ, except the person who Yani has no aspirations, low aspirations. Or the person who has, yani, no marua, yani who doesn't, yani, have that sense of honor that makes a person do those noble deeds that will be the source of their honor and avoid those evil deeds that would be the source of their disgrace. Except a person who doesn't have this sense of honor, or a person whose heart is dead. That's the only person that would be pleased with taking as provisions for their journey to the next life the most despicable of that which is in this world and that which is of least benefit. فَإِنَّ حَصْرَتَهُ تَشْتَدُّ إِذَا عَايَنَ حَقِيقَةَ مَا تَزَوَّدُهُ وَتَبَيِّنَ لَهُ عَدْمْ نَفْعِهِ لَهُ. Indeed, the person's regret, yani, will be greater when he sees with his own eyes the reality of what he has taken as his provisions. Yani, when he sees the reality, the end result, or the consequence of the deeds that he did in this world, and it becomes crystal clear to him that they will be of no benefit for him. The person's regret will be severe, will be extreme, when they see the reality of what they have sent ahead, and it becomes clear to them that these deeds will be of no benefit for them. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا كَانَ تَرَكَ تَزَوُّدَ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ إِلَى زَادٍ يُعَذَّبُ بِهِ وَيَنَالُهُ بِسَبَبِهِ غَايَةَ الْعَلَمِ. Yani, a person will have regret when they see that the deeds they did in this world are of no great benefit to them. So how much more regret there will be for them if they have abandoned the provisions or the good deeds that would have benefited them, and in place of it they have taken provisions that's going to be the cause of them being punished, and due to which they will be afflicted with the most severe pain and punishment. And how much more so would be the regret of the person who not only did the deeds that would be least beneficial, rather they abandoned doing beneficial deeds to do deeds that would be the cause of their punishment. How much more regret will that person experience? Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim says, بَلْ إِذَا تَزَوَّدَ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ وَتَرَكَ مَا هُوَ أَنْفَعُ مِنْهُ كَانَ حَصْرَةً عَلَيْهِ. Yani, even the person would be regretful if he had did deeds that are beneficial. But as a result of that, it caused him to abandon deeds that are more beneficial. Even that person would regret. They would regret that they haven't done that which is more beneficial. How often do we find ourselves engaged in things that might be of some benefit, but at the expense of that which is more beneficial? At the expense of that which is more beneficial. And this is from the tricks of shaitan, that if he can't get you to commit shirk, to engage in bid'ah, to do sins, then he'll try to distract you from that which is more beneficial with that which is less beneficial. Ibn Qayyim says that a person who did do some deeds that are beneficial, but that was the cause of them abandoning more beneficial deeds, even that person would feel regret, not to mention the one who abandoned beneficial deeds for engaging in that which is sinful. That would be the cause of his punishment. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his commentary, Allahu Akbar, in his commentary, which is relatively brief in comparison to the commentary that was in the audio recording, he says, Al-Amru Al-Khamisa Ashara Min Bawa'if Tark Al-Dhunub. Yani, the 15th matter from those, yani, matters, those ways and means that help a person to give up, to abandon committing sins. He entitles it Sur'atu Zawali Ad-Dunya Wanqidha'uha. Yani, the quickness or the swiftness of the passing away of this world and its coming to an end. Yani, reflecting upon how quickly this world, the life in this world, will pass away. Person who lives 60 or 70 years and half of that is sleeping and half of that was before they were responsible, and what's left, yani, they are wasting in things that are of no benefit or of little benefit, or worse than that, they're engaging in that which is going to be the cause of their punishment. Reflecting upon the quickness with which the life in this world will pass away, and how quickly, yani how near it's coming to an end. The young people think they have a long time to live, and the old people regret that they have wasted their life away. The Shaykh says, فَالْحَيَةُ الدُّنْيَا سَرِيَةُ الْإِنْقِضَىٰ, yani that the life in this world is very, very quick in coming to an end. كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ اِسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجْرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. It is like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا, yani what do I have to do with this world? Yani what is my concern with this world? What is my, yani, what of this world is of importance to me? مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ, that I am in this world, I'm in this world like, just like a rider, اِسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجْرًا, who took, yani, a break to take some shade underneath a tree for a short period of time. ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا, and then he goes on, he leaves the shade of that tree behind him. The Prophet ﷺ here gave us an example of his view of this world and the life in this world. That for him, مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, I am no more in this world than like a rider who is going someplace and stops to take the comfort of the shade of a tree for a moment and then goes on and leaves it behind. Yani it means that the rider who is traveling and stops to take a moment of rest under the shade of a tree, that rider's heart is not going to be attached to the shade of the tree. Because the rider knows that I'm stopping here momentarily, just for a moment. I'm not trying to own this, I'm not trying to possess it, and I'm not becoming attached to it. It's just a moment of enjoyment of the shade under the tree before I go on about my way to my real destination. Yani the heart is not attached to that shade. In the same way, our hearts should not be attached to this dunya and whatever is in it, unless it is those things that are pleasing to Allah. The Shaykh says, فَإِذَا تَفَكَّرَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي سُرْعَةِ زَوَالِهَا وَأَنَّهَا مَعَ ذَلِكَ دَارَ الْإِبْتِلَاءِ وَالْإِمْتِهَانِ. So if a person reflects, contemplates, ponders over the quickness and the speed of the passing away of the life in this world, and in addition to that, reflects upon the reality that the life in this world is no more than a place of trials and tests. Yet it's just a place where people are going to be tested and tried. It's not a place, yani, that a person wants to remain in forever. It's not a place that a person is going to give their life up in exchange for the brief pleasures or enjoyments of this passing world. That is just a place of trial and tribulation. If a person reflects on this, he says, تَيَقَّنَ أَنَّ إِضَاعَةَ الْوَقْتِ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الْقَصِيرَةِ فِي مَا لَا يَنْفَعُ مِنَ الْخُسْرَانِ الْمُبِينِ. Then a person will become certain that wasting time in this short-lived life that's passing away quickly and will soon come to an end, wasting one's time in that which is of no benefit, in that which is of no benefit, yani the things that we are engaging in that are of no benefit, and even if they are permissible, yani we're engaging in things that are of no benefit, worse than that is engaging in that which is haram. Yani a person is wasting their time watching a movie, watching television, listening to some haram music, or some other activity that at least is of no benefit, and at worst maybe it's haram, that which is going to be the cause of a person's destruction. Whoever reflects on the reality of this world and how quickly it is passing away, and that it is a place of test and trial, that we are being tested here. Yani, will we do that which is pleasing to Allah, or we fail the test and do that which is pleasing to our nafs, our hawa? He said, whoever reflects on this, they will know that wasting their time in this short-lived life, engaging in that which is of no benefit, is indeed a clear loss. فَضْلًا أَنْ يُدَيْعَ وَقْتَهُ فِي الْمَعَاسِي أَلَّتِي سَتَكُونُ وَبَالًا عَلَيْهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Not to mention, what's worse than wasting our time in that which is of no benefit, is that a person wastes their time in sin, in disobedience to Allah, which is going to be the cause of one experiencing its evil consequences on the day of resurrection. ولذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل. For this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم advised us with two more examples of how we should view our life in this world. He said, be in this world as though you are a stranger, or as though you are a passerby, a traveler, a wayfarer, just passing through. The first example he gave us is the example of the rider who stops for a moment to enjoy the shade of a tree. And that's our position in reference to this world. It's just something we just passing by. We might enjoy that which is lawful from it for a moment, but we don't become attached to it. The second example he gave us is the example of a stranger who's in a land other than his own country. And he's there, yani temporarily, for some need, to fulfill some need, being prepared every day, once he fulfills that need, to go on to his homeland. The third example he gave us is the wayfarer, who doesn't even temporarily stop over in those lands, rather just pass through, just passing through. How much can such a person be attached to the land that he's just passing through? How much are we willing to give of our life and our time and our effort and our energy for a place that we're just passing through? The Shaykh says, وَذَلِكَ, and this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih. He said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْغَرِيبِ, yani why we should be in this world as though we are a stranger or just a passerby, a traveler, a wayfarer just passing through. He said, ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْغَرِيبِ وَعَابِرَ السبيل لا يعلق قلبه بشيء في بلد الغربة بل قلبه متعلق بوطنه الأصلي وإنما همه في السفر أن يقضي حاجته ويرجع إلى وطنه. He said, this is because the stranger and the wayfarer, the passerby, doesn't attach or connect his heart to anything in the land of strangeness, in the strange land, in the foreign land. He doesn't become attached to those things. Rather, his heart is connected to his original homeland, yani the land that he has hope to return to. وَإِنَّمَا هَمُّهُ, yani his real concern, his tent, his intent, what is important to him during his journey is that he fulfill his need, yani the needs that he has when he stops over temporarily in a strange land, or the needs that he has as a traveler going from one place to another, returning to his home. His only concern is to fulfill his needs of that moment and returning to his homeland. And that's the way we should be in this world, that we shouldn't make important, we shouldn't desire or intend to accumulate the things of this world except that which we are in need of during our brief stay in that strange land, or during our travels passing through a land on our return to our home. And our home is the home of the hereafter, yani the real life, the life of the hereafter. Just quickly, in the few moments that remain, I want to review with us the commentary, or at least a small part of the commentary, of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad al-Badr. Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him and benefit us from his knowledge. In his explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, and the completion of those hadith by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, concerning this part of the hadith, he says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun aw abiru sabil, be in this world as though you are a stranger or one just passing along the way, a wayfarer, a traveler. He said, al-gharib, he defines what is the gharib, what is a stranger, and what is a traveler, a yani wayfarer, a passerby. He says, the gharib huwa al-muqim fi ghayri baladihi liqada'i hajatin. The muqim is the person, the gharib is the person who is residing temporarily in other than his own land, لِقَضَاءِ حَاجَةٍ, in order to fulfill some need. And he doesn't intend to stay there. Rather, he is there for some need. And he's there to fulfill that need. يَسْتَعِدُّ لِمُغَادَرَةِ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَدْ مَتَى تَمَكَّنَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And he is ready. He is ready to depart from that land whenever or as soon as he is able to fulfill that need. And he has no intent to remain there. Rather, he's there for some need and he is preparing and he is ready every moment to get out of there, to leave there and go to his homeland as soon as he fulfills that need. A person comes to a strange country, a strange land, a strange city for some purpose, and his mind is clear and his intent and his purpose is to fulfill some need and get on up out of there and return to his land. And that's the way we are in this, in the life of this dunya. The Shaykh, he says, وَعَبِرُ السَّبِيلُ. The عَبِرُ السَّبِيلُ هُوَ الْمُسَافِرُ الَّذِي يَمُرُّ بِالْبِلَادِ مُرُورًا دُونَ إِقَامَةٍ بِهَا حَتَّى يَنْتَهِيَ مِنْ سَفَرِهِ. يعني the عَبِرُ السَّبِيلُ is a traveler. A person who is just passing through the lands, one city to another, one state to another, one country to another. يَمُرُّ بِالْبِلَادِ مُرُورًا. He's just passing by. دُونَ إِقَامَةٍ بِهَا. Without even temporarily stopping over to reside in those lands that he's passing through. حَتَّى يَنْتَهِيَ مِنْ سَفَرِهِ. He's doing that continuously on the move, passing through various lands, until he finishes his journey. And until he returns to the place that he is traveling, to his home. And if we consider carefully, we will realize that the Abir al-Sabil and the rider who is taking a momentary rest under the shade of a tree are in a better condition in reference to how we should be in this world than the one who is temporarily, even temporarily, residing for some need in a strange land. Because it is better that a person, yani, has no intent to even stop and stay over in this strange land. We're talking about the dunya, the life of this world and all that it entails. Rather, our intent should be to keep our focus on the destination. And that is the real life. That is the hereafter, the life in the hereafter. The Shaykh, he says, وَدَارُ الْغُرْبَ وَأُبُورُ السَّبِيلُ. And what is meant by a strange land? Yani the stranger, the gharib, who's in a strange land, stopping over temporarily, yani to fulfill some need, so that he can be yani ready to depart and go to his homeland. What is meant by dar al-ghurba? And what is meant by ubur al-sabil? Yani that a person is just passing along the way, wayfarer. In this hadith, the dar al-ghurba hi ad-dunya. The strange land is this world, the life in this world. And the ubur as-sabil, the passing through the lands, it is as-sayr fiha lil-akhirah. It is traveling to the next life. Yani to the meeting with Allah and the hope of His pleasure and His reward and His forgiveness and His mercy and the entry into the paradise. وَذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِالتَّذَكُّرِ الْمَوْتِ وَقِصْرِ الْعَمَلِ وَالِاسْتِعْدَادِ فِيهَا لِلْآخِرَةِ بِالْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. Yani, being a stranger, acting like a stranger in a strange land, or the one who is just passing through in this hadith, yani, the strange land is the dunya, and the passing through it is traveling on one's way to the Akhirah, and the way that a person achieves that is bittadhakkur, yani bittadhakkur al-maut, that a person remembers death, that the life in this world is passing quickly, and the end is very near, and death is coming certainly, and a person needs to keep that reality in their mind. Tadhakkur al-maut, to reflect, to remember death. وَقِصُرْ الْعَمَلِ, and to have little hope to live long in this world. Yani, the believer in this world doesn't have hope that I can live a long life. That is the desire of the kafir, because the life in this world is their paradise. And so they want to live 1,000 years. And if they got 1,000, it's not enough, they want more. But the believer who realizes the reality of this life has little hope of living long in this world, has no desire to live long in this world. And he said, this is also achieved by what? Al-isti'adad fiha, yani fi dunya, lil-akhirah, bil-amali salihah. And that a person make preparations while they are in this world for the next life by doing righteous deeds. That a person remembers death and has little hope of living long in this world, and that they make preparations while in this world for the Akhirah by doing righteous deeds. The Shaykh says this is as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, 2nd Surah, 197th Ayat, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى, and make provisions, yani gather up provisions for the journey. And indeed, the best of provisions, yani the best of deeds that a person can do in this world in the preparation for their journey to the next life is a taqwa. Yani the best of provisions is a taqwa. The Shaykh says, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْبُخَارِي فِي صَحِيحِهِ, yani عَنْ عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ ارتحلت الدنيا يعني مدبرة وارتحلت الآخرة مقبلة, that the dunya, the life in this world, yani it has gone on backwards, falling back, going away, and the akhirah, yani is coming forward, coming to us. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ, and each one of them, the dunya and the akhirah, have children. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, so be from the children of the akhirah, those who are seeking the akhirah, and do not be from the children of the dunya, those who are seeking the things of this world. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ, for indeed, he said, today is the time for deeds and no accounting now, and tomorrow is the time of accounting and no deeds. Yani meaning that right now in the life in this world we have a chance to do good deeds, but the accounting is not now. And in the next life, tomorrow, Yawm al-Qiyamah, is the time of accounting when a person won't be able to do any more deeds. So whoever knows that, then they will be conscious of trying to do the deeds that will be in the account for tomorrow. The Shaykh closes this discussion by mentioning the second hadith, or the first hadith that was mentioned here in our discussion tonight. He says, وَقَدْ أَوْضَحَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَثَلُ هَذِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَانْتِهَاؤُهَا وَأَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِدَارِ قَرَارٍ بِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ اسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاهَا وَتَرَكَهَا, رواه الترمذي وغيره وقال حديث حسن صحيح. Shaykh says, the Prophet ﷺ has made clear to us, he has made clear to us the likeness or the parable or the example of the life in this world and its ending, and that it is not a home of yani permanence, of settlement. It's not a place that we're going to settle down in or become attached to. He said, مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا, yani what do I have to do with this world? Yani I am no more in this world than like a rider who seeks momentary shade under a tree, and then he goes about his way and leaves it behind. Reported by At-Tirmidhi and others, and the hadith is Hasan Sahih. And this is the end of what we wanted to say. for tonight. And we hope that what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions here of the three levels of regret of the people in this world who do not pay attention to the reality of this world and how short it is and how near is its ending. Yani the least of them is the one who does some beneficial deeds, but they leave off that which is more beneficial. That's the least of one who's going to be least regret. But there's regret for that person too, who's engaged in some goodness, but it caused them to leave off that which would be more beneficial to them. Person has to think about what we are doing. The second of them in regret is going to be the person who is engaged in deeds which are of little or no benefit, even if they weren't engaged in outright sin. But they're going to regret because when they see the worthlessness of what they were engaged in on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, that will be a source of great regret. And the worst of them in regret is the one who not only abandoned doing good deeds that would have been of benefit for them on the day of accounting, rather they engaged in sinful deeds that will be the cause of their punishment and their destruction. A person has to reflect on this. All of these people will regret. The worst of them in regret are those who engage in sin and disobedience to Allah. And that's why Ibn Qayyim mentions this, that this is from the means of a person avoiding sin. When they realize that the sins that a person engaged in this short life in this world, this place of test and trial, the sins that they engage in will be the cause of great regret on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. If a person thinks about that, this will be a motivating factor to help them to avoid disobedience to Allah by the permission of Allah, by Allah's mercy and His favor upon us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. There's just a few minutes remaining before the Iqamah. If anybody is able, after the Salat, inshallah, we're going to sit just for a moment. If there's some questions or some issues, corrections, or whatever a person may want to bring up, inshallah, after the Salat, we will remain briefly. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Naam.